Another Saturday stuck in traffic on the way to church. I wish I was a wedding singer, but I'm not. I'm stuck down the back with the video camera.
I love the chicken, thanks.
Welcome to Shutsu, the podcast. Jobs and networking for professional photography and video crews. Join the zoo at shutsu.com.
Hello and welcome to Shutsu, the podcast. My name is Turbo, and Shutsu, the app, is now ready for Australian users. You can get all the details of what we've done by going to shutsu.com, but we've built a platform to network professional photographers and videographers together to find crew and be crew, and be protected by public liability and indemnity insurance as one of the features as well. We've also just released our mobile app, so you can search Shutsu in the App Store or download it on Google Play to have it at your fingertips. More details at shutsu.com.
Digging deep into the minds of the industry's best. Shutsu, the podcast.
Today on the podcast, we're talking to Lacey Barrett. She's a pioneer in the birth industry, paving the way for more inclusive, dynamic, and unapologetic raw content through visual arts. As a doula, she also pushes the boundaries of what women think that they're capable of. Laura caught up with her.
So, Lacey Barrett, welcome to Shutsu.
Thank you.
So you're a birth photographer.
I am.
Doula, an accredited member of the AIPP.
Yes.
You won the AIPP 2018 Documentary Photographer of the Year.
I did.
That's so exciting. And you speak regularly on media as well about the importance of body positivity postpartum. So let's go back. How did you get started in photography?
So I got started when I was right after my first son was born. It's really a kind of funny story because my mom asked me when I was pregnant with our first baby if I was going to have my husband take pictures of him being born. And I was like, that's absolutely morbid. Why would you?
I said the same. I was like, no one is down the business end.
Why would you do that? Yeah. And so, you know, there was a couple of pictures that were taken. Obviously, after you have the baby, you announce them on social media. And then 12 months later, guess what pops up? Time Hop, to remind me that I had 3 photos of that day. And that was it. And
really?
I,
that no was photos.
No photos. That was it. I literally shared every photo, which was 3, that was taken after. And it was like the selfie with the head cut off.
Yeah.
It was the one on the scale that was blurry and crooked. And then I had one of him in my lap.
Yep.
And you're pulling the phone up to your chin, trying to get far enough back to where you can see. And yeah, they were just really crappy mobile phone photos. So that was the beginning of my regret that has escalated and led me to here.
That's an amazing reason, though. So your tagline's beautiful chaos. So with birth photography, how do you get someone to trust you to actually come into that moment?
Vulnerability. So because what I do is, you know, you are witnessing a woman or a birthing person at their most primal point in life. And so you have to be able to reciprocate that vulnerability. And I say this to, you know, all of the girls who are studying under me, that they're always saying, well, why can't I get people to book me? And I'm like, well, are you being vulnerable with them? And so people like to be understood. They like to resonate with you. They like to feel like you know them. And the only way to do that is through connection and sharing of stories. And hey, I'm just like you.
And yeah, and I've been there and I've done it. And
yeah. And not even done it. I mean, there's tons of incredible birth photographers and doulas who have no children.
Yeah.
And I love that, but they're being vulnerable in very different ways. And that's crucial to getting trust.
And being a doula, so some people won't understand what that is. So can you explain what a doula is?
Basically, a doula is somebody who supports the woman to give her all of the information that she needs in order to create decisions based on her body, her circumstances, her own risks, her own mental capacity to stay within her mental health, and to let the woman have that power back instead of having the system take that, because our system is very, very broken.
Very broken.
So we basically just fill the gaps in that broken system. So, you know, where women are falling through the cracks of socioeconomics and women of color and financial issues with not being able to afford private midwives. So they're, you know, going through public home birth services, or they are high risk, so they can't get into the home birth service, so they have to go to the home, like, so multi-layered. We fill those cracks for women that are falling through.
So you're going to both hospital births and home births?
Absolutely.
And are you finding the hospitals are more welcoming of doulas these days?
Yes. So in the near past, recently, that's the word I'm looking for. Here recently, yes, I have. And I think that is because there's a lot of studies that is coming out showing just how valuable and important we are. Every now and then you get, you know, a disgruntled medical professional that isn't very keen on me as doula or birth photographer being present. But you have to remember that when you're in the birth space, everybody is vulnerable. It's not just the birthing woman. Yeah. It's the medical staff. It's the photographer. It's the partner, you know, dad, mom. And that is
something. We often forget about the partner, don't we? The partner is not in control.
We do. And
sad.
I could do a whole episode on dads in the birth space and how they're forgotten, and wives, you know, same-sex couples, and how they're forgotten just because, especially men, because they feel like the gender norm for them is to fix what's broken. And so when they see the woman in pain, they want to fix it and they can't fix it. And then they feel out of control. And then it's just like this downward spiral.
And they get pushed up to the side as well because they're not seen as the important part of the process. Yeah, I've seen, obviously, totally. Been there when that's happened. So
Totally, yeah. And so that's another job of doula, is to make sure that, you know, the birth partner is involved in that space as well. Like, we're not there to take their place, but to, you know, help bring them together and keep them connected. And yeah.
And so your birth photography and being a doula, that goes hand in hand, or is sometimes you're just the birth photographer, or how does it work?
So this is also a bit of a controversial subject.
I like controversy.
I do too. Clearly my whole brand is based on controversy. But so I do both together. A lot of people say, no, absolutely not. You can't do that. Birth photography requires 100%. Doula requires 100%. You can't put those together and still give two adequate services. I disagree.
Well, and you're a woman, so we can multitask. We're good at that.
We can. One of my friends just posted something. Nikki Fox.
Yeah.
Nikki posted something saying women can do anything men can do, breastfeeding or bleeding.
Exactly.
And I was like, yes.
We can.
How's take that for multitasking. Sorry, what was the question?
So do you do being a doula and a birth photographer together? How do you do that?
Communication. Absolutely communication. My entire business is based on communication and transparency. So, you know, if there's something that comes up that I can't deliver, that I can't make it, which I've only missed 3 births, and it wasn't because I couldn't go because of commitments. It was because they had their babies in like under an hour. But, you know.
I know.
Yeah. But opening up that communication with your clients and asking them what's more important to you, you know, and obviously we're spending this time together. I'll be able to read your body language on what you're needing in that time. And as long as you trust me, you'll most definitely get like an entire gallery. But if you tell me that birth photography is more important to you, then I might send your partner in instead of me. And if I see that you need extra support, then I'm going to put the camera down and I'm going to go and support you. And I've never had anybody tell me, no, I just want those photos taken, or I just want, you know, doula support if it comes down to it. So it really gives me a lot of flexibility And she trusts me. And that's that trust and reciprocation and vulnerability that we need to be sharing. And that's when you start getting into problems with doing both at the same time, is when you don't have that communication open.
Definitely. So we've talked about body positivity. How important is it understanding the post-mum bod and being comfortable in yourself?
What did you say? How important?
How important is it? Because so many people struggle, obviously, yes. and they've got this unrealistic view of what they should look like or how they should feel after they've had a baby. You obviously experience it a lot because yes. you've seen a lot of people yep. out there.
And myself, I've got five babies. Each of them, my body has changed a little bit differently, more drastically.
I know, it doesn't. So I've got two babies, and the second time I was like, what do you mean? This is me now.
Yeah.
It changed so much.
And that's the beauty, I think, of our bodies, is that it's our new normal. So you've got all of this this talk created around get your pre-baby body back. Your pre-baby body doesn't exist.
No.
It's gone.
You grew
forever.
A baby. You separated muscles. You did lots of things in there to get this
now,
baby.
Now you can get back to your pre-baby weight, but not your body. It is completely different. And I think that when we are able to change that mindset of embracing our new normal, then that is what really begins to change our own perspective around self-love, self-confidence, and all of those things that go with postpartum.
Yeah. And Humans Uncensored, so that's a campaign that you mm-hmm. run and you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. We've obviously got a lot of social media that says we're not allowed to show breastfeeding mothers, we're not allowed to show birth photos. How have you tackled that in your business?
I have created my own things. So one thing that I have learned is that the only safe place on the internet is the place that I own, which is my website, which is my podcast, which is my blog. Which is my learning platforms and things like that. So Facebook, you know, Empowered Birth Project, Angela Gallo, Monet Nicole, like all of these really big names and incredible, including myself, all petitioned together to get those terms and conditions changed, the policy of the nudity policy is what it is. Yeah. So now we are actually able to share images of women giving birth in its entirety. However, the algorithm, they're still having difficulty teaching the algorithm the difference, and this is what is so sad, the difference between sexual nudity and the difference between birth nudity.
Which is quite different. One would say, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but why is it that birth is still being classified as sexual nudity?
It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Right.
But there's still, so you're allowed to now actually show your photos.
Yeah.
But they're not going anywhere.
They do. Okay. They do. Every now and then I still get a random ban where the algorithm has stuffed up. And then it's a long drawn out process, but you just submit, you know, an appeal and then they unban you, which is fine. But, you know, it's that 3, 4, 5 a week before they get back to you. And when you're banned, you are banned from your personal page, you're banned from your business page, you can't respond. And so it is a massive hit, especially if you're running basically your business from Facebook, which I know a lot of people are. When I had our fifth baby, I was on a month ban from Facebook and I couldn't even announce that he was born on social media to my friends and family. So very, very frustrating. So what I've done is, for those of you listening, I have created another Facebook account super stealthily and adminned it to my business page, so that way when my main account is blocked, you just hop on the backup and you can still access your business page.
You have to do what you have to do. So you've taken some very raw photos. Mm-hmm. So and one of the first ones I saw, which was quite emotional for me, was like stillbirth as well. Mm-hmm. How do you prepare yourself emotionally for those sorts of experiences?
again, a multi-layered, like everything birth is very multi-layered, but I don't know how to say this without saying it and sounding blunt and rude, but disassociation, by understanding that that woman and dad's, that that family's grief is not mine, is where I start every single time. So it's okay for me to be sad, but it's not okay for me to walk out of that room feeling the heaviness of their grief, because it's not mine, and it's not fair for me to take that experience and that grief away from them and treat it as my own. So when I walk into those situations, I have to mentally prepare myself of, you know, this is not mine. I don't own it. I have permission to feel it, but I don't have permission to take that on board. So it should not be keeping me up in the middle of the night. And that sounds really rude, but it's actually, like, I look at it as a form of respect. It's not mine.
And you're taking a photo for them so that they have closure and they have their family photo.
That's right. And I just know that as a parent, if I have not lost babies, so I'm not speaking on behalf of, you know, the lost community. However, I feel like if I have lost a baby, that I would feel very frustrated if somebody else felt entitled enough to own my grief, because that's a very, very painful experience. And so I don't want anyone to feel like, well, who the hell do you think you are feeling? You don't feel what I feel. So keeping that very distant from the parent's experience to mine is very important to me.
So, and it's very much about the respect and giving them the respect that they deserve. Absolutely. At that time. And do you find social media has trolls? Do you find your photography is more likely to
Yes. I'm like profusely nodding my head. I think because what I do is, like I said earlier, very controversial. I tend to take things and run with it. Like, I've posted myself next to Kim Kardashian naked, breastfeeding. Like, a couple of years ago, or longer than that now, she posted her famous bathroom selfie naked. And so I just grabbed my one-year-old at the time, who was breastfeeding, got naked, and was like, I forgot what I said in the caption, but I said LOL real life, because she had something in her meme or whatever. And I was like, LOL real life, hair disheveled, like
haven't slept for days.
Yes. But the point of that, and this is kind of where the Humans Uncensored project was born from, is the point of that is that why is it okay for someone else to be nude? She wasn't standing sexually. She wasn't touching herself. She wasn't, you know, and it was okay for that. And then whenever I did it breastfeeding, it was like, how dare you? You need to cover your breasts.
And I don't understand where this breastfeeding thing has come from, because, you know, tens of years ago, it was the norm. And then all of a sudden it has become this cover up in public. Mm-hmm. I always made sure I didn't, because my kids didn't like being covered. Mm-hmm. So
it's hot.
I know. It's like, well, now I can't see what I'm doing, and just, stifling me. Yeah. So it's for you, obviously, you're trying to normalize breastfeeding, mm-hmm. and you're trying to normalize body positivity and nudity in social media, things that shouldn't have to be normalized. Mm-hmm. Do you get frustrated?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes, I do. And it's frustrating because I think a lot differently than what most people do. And I find that people don't understand what I'm saying or trying to accomplish sometimes, which in itself creates controversy. But I get frustrated because, you know, my husband, and this has been argued time and time again, but my husband can walk down the beach and, you know, topless, and it's totally fine. I actually did another series where we stood next to each other topless. We were both wearing his board shorts, and it was only from the neck down. His image was not censored, and my image had censor bars over my breast, and that went viral as well. But it's frustrating because a body is just a body. And it's like, when people say, how you can't show your baby's butt on social media. And it's like, well, hold on. Why? Because now you've just sexualized something that isn't sexual. So am I to blame? Because I didn't think it was sexual enough to not post it. Obviously, if I thought it was inappropriate, I wouldn't have posted it. But now you've just taken it a step further and vocalized that you think that this is sexual and so it shouldn't be on social media. So what now? Who's wrong? Me for posting it or for you for saying that?
It always seems to be the one who posts it is the one that is deemed wrong, yeah, even though it's the political correctness gone wrong.
Digging deep into the minds of the industry's best, Shutsu, the podcast.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Welcome back to Shutsu, the podcast. This week, Laura is talking to Lacey Barrett, an award-winning birth photographer who shows the importance of resilience and perseverance in everything that she pursues. She's also a successful educator for fellow photographers and has a course for photographers who are interested in moving into birth photography. Her highly sought-after course focuses on both the skills required and the emotional resilience required in the field. Laura caught up with Lacey the other day to have a chat about her photography career.
So, work-life balance. You have 5 children, mm-hmm, and you have a thriving business. Mm-hmm. How important is it to set your guardrails of business versus family?
It's incredibly important to know your boundaries, because if not, you'll be up at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning catering to your UK following or your American following or Canadian following, and before you know it, you haven't slept in 3 days and you're tired, and then you're like, oh fuck this, I'm done.
Have you found you've needed to be more flexible since being a mum?
Flexible in what way?
Flexible with your work. So sometimes things happen and you just can't make a shoot.
No, I think I've probably had to do the opposite. Now, yes, I'm flexible, as in my kids are sick, I can't work today. But I know that I have until 3:33 to get all of my work done. Otherwise, that's it. It's not going to get done. Once the kids get home from school, that's it. And so I have to have a very rigid schedule and make sure that I stay to that and stick to it. So I treat, because I work from home, it's very easy to get distracted. I treat my home like a business. So if I leave the office at 5 o'clock, then I leave my computer at 5 o'clock and that's it. I don't answer my emails until 8 o'clock the next morning. I don't like to call it work-life balance. I'd rather call it work-life integration.
Yeah.
Because it helps. Because when you're balancing something, it's equal. And if you're putting more time into your family, then you're not making money. And if you put more time into your business, then you're not spending time with your family. And it's never going to be equal. So I like thinking of it as integrating my business into my family.
What are some of the biggest challenges you've experienced being a photographer?
I find that birth isn't a category on a lot of things that I'm entering. And that's very frustrating. So when you've got someone like me who is sustaining her entire family on this, my husband stays home. He does not work anymore. We have successfully been able to retire him from the trucking industry. So it's very frustrating because it makes me feel less legitimate or less worthy or less like a hobbyist. It's not popular enough yet to have its own category, so you're still a hobbyist.
Birth photography is definitely a category in its own right, but it's obviously become more popular in the recent years.
I'd say around 2013, 2014, I started to feel that shift around what it was. And then I'd say 2016, 2017 is whenever it was everybody was looking for a birth photographer. It's becoming the norm as part of birth teams now. So you get pregnant, you book your antenatal appointments, you book into the hospital, you hire your birth photographer, you hire your doula. That's now becoming a part of the process of women, you know, getting pregnant and having babies.
Yeah. And so the photography competitions that you're talking about are potentially still a little bit
behind
history?
Behind? Yes, absolutely, possibly. And look, I mean, they do have documentary categories and photojournalism categories, but what makes it difficult is, yes, we're documentary, but you can't judge a birth image like you can a wedding documentary image. There's, yes, the lighting is uncontrollable, but you're in a massive room, yes, with hundreds of people in it for a reception, but you can move around. You can yank somebody out of the way to get what you need in that shot.
You cannot as a birth photographer.
No, and sometimes, you know, if you're in a tiny room and you miscalculate your lens,
that's it. Yeah.
You're done.
Have you seen competition? So 2016, 2017 is when it's exploded. Have you seen competition increase significantly?
Yes, I have. So there's a lot of now birth-dedicated competitions, not just in Australia, but around the world. Now, AIPP has had birth as a category since, I think, 2014. So they have definitely been listening to their members. They have absolutely been giving us what we want. We're still in the process, I think, of trying to grow it as a sustainable business. So there's a lot of people who do birth as part of their business model, but they don't do birth exclusively. Now, that's not, the on-call life is not for everyone. So I totally get that. But I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding around having solely a birth photography business and it being not sustainable. So because it is so expensive to offer as a session. So what happens is basically women are falling in love with their births, or they have a shitty birth experience. And so then they decide that they want to do something about it. So they start photographing births. I love it. I love it. But then they are like, well, it doesn't cost me anything, so I'll just do it for free. Which, if you've already got your gear, if you've already, in theory, I can understand why somebody would say it doesn't cost me anything but my time. But you've got your subscriptions and your flight room and your Photoshop and your insurance and, you know, all of these other little bits and bobs that you don't notice because you're always paying for it. Now, that's fine for the first 1, 5, 10. But what happens when you fall in love with it and you go, okay, well, I'm going to charge $1,000. That might make somebody uncomfortable when charging that. And then you get pushback from it and you're like, well, that's not even a lot of money and they don't want to pay that. I'm going to have to do this for $500 because I love it so much. I can't give it up. So I'm going to do it for what sells. And that's usually very cheap. And these photographers have incredible work. Like, this isn't a Sally Mae down the road is undercutting me. This is not, stop photographers, stop making it about you.
Definitely.
This isn't Sally Mae down the road is undercutting me. This is actually, we've got a crisis in the whole industry, which is photographers don't value themselves. And so I found that once I tripled my prices is whenever I finally started making money. And so you've got this, you know, well, Sally over there is $3,000 and Sarah over there is $2,500 and then Lacey is $500. What's wrong with her? Is she broken?
You know, when you said you've tripled your dollars, and now you're making money, but you're also getting a different sort of clientele as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is, and that's so scary. That's so scary because it starts with a mindset of we don't value ourselves. So until we can begin to come to a place where we value our time, we value our gear, we value being away from our family, we value canceling date nights with our partners enough to charge for that, then other people will finally start valuing you.
Exactly. And the photography industry will pep itself up.
Absolutely.
And it'll be more sustainable as a industry.
And so that's why I think birth photographers get classed in a hobby kind of category, because people don't think that it's sustainable. But I mean, and just to add on to that really quickly, everybody is going to have a different cost of doing business. So I don't expect everybody to be charging the same amount by any means. There's definitely there in order for a profession to work, you have to have variabilities, because if everybody was charging the same amount, it would crash, because not everybody consumers are in different financial positions, and photographers should all be offering different things, different price ranges. So yes, you're going to have people that are less expensive. Yes, you're going to have people that are more expensive, and it has to be that way. So I don't want people to think that I think that, you know, people are devaluing the industry, not by any means, but it's more of a valuing yourself, yeah, money mindset thing.
But what about free? What do you think about photographers that give things away for free?
I'm totally not against doing anything for free. I think that as a business, we are bartering. I think that as businesses, I'm half heart, half hustle over here. So I think when it becomes an issue is when it's not benefiting you. Like, something free has to benefit you. When you're doing a barter, it has to be an equally mutual trade that is benefiting both parties. When it becomes a problem when that is no longer equally beneficial. So people who are just wanting to get into birth photography and they say, well, can I shoot births for free? I'm like, well, yeah, why not? But you'll know when it's time to stop doing free things. I only recommend doing one or two and not calling it free. Call it, I'm offering birth photography for, you know, $24.99, and I'm doing a portfolio building price for free.
Yeah.
Or complimentary, or for $500. Now, the problem with free is that people don't value it. So you've got birth photographers who are on call from 37 weeks to 42 weeks. Mom has her baby at 41 weeks. Photographer doesn't want to annoy mom, so she waits and waits and waits and waits and waits. And then guess what? 4 days later, she gets a text message that says, sorry, we had our baby 4 days ago, but we didn't think it was a big deal because we didn't pay you anything.
Yeah, because it was free. That's the only issue that I see with free. It's good for building up your portfolio, but the clients don't value it. So if I got something for free, I still would turn up. But I know a lot of people, if they get something for free, they're like, they don't. Oh, well, it's, they don't. It was just.
And so nothing. Now this photographer has just, you know, not drank. God knows we can't not drink wine in the evening.
We need wine.
Right?
Yeah.
Not drank, hasn't gone on dates with her partner, hasn't gone within 30-minute radius of her home for 5 weeks, 2 weeks, or whenever that mom had her baby. And so it's not malicious intent on the parents' part, but they just were like, well,
it wasn't valuable.
Well, you didn't lose anything. Like, you didn't incur any costs.
Yeah.
And that is where valuing our time is. So I've always said, if you're going to start out inexpensive, charge $200, charge $500, charge something. So that way the parents are invested enough in it to go, ooh, I've got a caller, because $200 is a lot of money to lose on, right? Yes, it's very, 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 very cheap. But it's enough of an investment for the parents to go, well, I don't want to lose $200 and not get nothing back for it. So if they can be in that mindset, why can't we?
I know. We, as an industry, we definitely need that mindset more.
Yeah.
So what have some of your lessons been to keep evolving your business?
To always be open and changing. So I have learned that when I started Lacey Barrett Photography is not where I am today. It has evolved greatly. My branding has evolved greatly. My ideal client has evolved. And so as the years go on, and because it is brand, it's a personal brand, as I change as a person, my business changes. And I think remembering that, and that it's okay to embrace those changes. Because I know whenever I first started, I was like, I have to design a logo and it's got to be the same until the day I die. Because Macca's has been the same since its inception. So I've got to get the branding right the first time. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm changing. My brand is changing. Macca's is not a person. It is its own entity. So if I were operating something that were outside of my personal brand, then yes, absolutely, I might take a little bit more care in that department. But like if you've got a clothing label, your brand is going to evolve slightly, but essentially the name of your, unless you change the name of your business, it's not really going to change that much, which is why people like Nike and Kohl's and, you know, all of these big conglomerate corporations have had the same logo for 50 years, 100 years or whatever, because they're still selling hamburgers.
So are we putting too much pressure on ourselves as micro businesses to get everything right first off?
Yeah. And I think when you are in that, I have to get it right the first time, you're never going to start.
What about networking and supporting women in business? So you obviously have e-courses, you mentor a lot of people. How important is it to actually support other women in this
profession? Life. It's paramount. And I think without that support that it would fall on its head. I find that when you start getting into... I'm a massive advocate for collaboration over competition, and so, or community over competition. I find that we get a lot further, because there's things that someone does in their business that I don't do in mine that I might want to offer, but don't have the time to learn it, perfect it, whatever. And so then you just collaborate.
Yeah.
So one of the things, I also encapsulate placentas. I don't have time to learn how to make DNA jewelry. So I just contact, you know, Beyond the Willow Tree and say, hey, let's work something out. I'll ship you their placentas. You make it into a beautiful piece of jewelry. And then she ships it straight back to them. Done. And I've just made an extra $200 from doing that.
Yeah. And it's not about knowing how to do everything.
And I know that having that community, without it, you're kind of like flailing in the open sea and no one's there to help you.
Yeah.
What do you do? Well, you're going to sink or swim, and you can only swim for so long before you're going
to
sink.
How important is it for you to be in front of the camera? It's actually photos of yourself.
Very important for personal reasons, for business reasons, personal reasons because I want to exist in photos. So very often my, you know, kids will run around with my business phone taking pictures. I hope to God, if you've seen any crazy pictures that I don't know about that they have posted to social media, I am sorry. But I think it's really important that they feel involved in that process, and that we are printing our pictures. So, I mean, I love printing, and I think that printing is the end process of our time together. So if I deliver a gallery that doesn't have prints in it, I feel like I have not finished my workflow.
And there are a lot of people that wouldn't be printing photos anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a dangerous trend?
Yes. And the reason for that is because, I don't know if you've noticed, but for those of you who have new MacBooks, they don't have USB ports.
They do not.
For those of you who have new laptops and computers, they don't have CD-ROM ports.
And how do you get your photos off?
You print them.
Oh, see?
Oh, look at that.
Wow. Yeah. And if Facebook ever dies, you don't want all of your history. I know. My life doesn't exist anymore.
No. No, that's right. And, I mean, if Instagram gets hacked or Facebook shuts down, that's it. We've got nothing.
No.
Nothing.
So print your photos, people.
Yep.
There you go. So the last round is a speed round.
Oh.
And we're going to do a series of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So what are two words that describe your photo style?
Beautiful chaos.
Well, clever. What's the most important thing in your kit besides your camera?
Food.
What's a perfect client?
Oh, God, I've got like 3 pages.
Okay.
Sorry.
What's the next trend for the industry?
I don't know. I really suck at this. I think I'm putting way too much thought into it, like trying to be all D&M.
What's the hardest part of doing business?
Work-life integration.
Where's it being the best place in the world that you've photographed?
In the home.
What's best, word of mouth or other forms of marketing?
Word of mouth.
And where do you see your business in 5 years?
In empire.
Thanks, Lacey. Thank you for joining us. And before we go, so can you provide your website address?
Yes, of course. You can, if you would like to book with me for birth photography, you can visit laceybarrett.com.au. That's LaceyBarrett. And if you are a photographer wanting to get into birth photography or already a birth photographer and would like some mentoring, you can visit www.birthphotographer.com.au.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Well, that's it. Thanks for joining us in the zoo. Stay tuned for our next episode at shootzoo.com.